Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Girls with Dogs. This is Kimberly, the blogger behind Keep the Tail Wagging, and my dear, dear friend, Kathy, the blogger behind Groovy Golden Doodles, and we are Girls with Dogs. How you doing, Kathy?
I am super excited, just so excited I can't even contain myself. But before I talk about my excitement, if you're not looking at us on YouTube and you're just listening to us through your podcast station, I still adore you, but at some point you must just kind of click over to YouTube because Kimberly is wearing makeup. I'm going to figure out later where she's going. And then
I'm not going anywhere.
And then I'll let you know.
I have to put on makeup because okay. You look so nice. I can't come
I'm
on
at
here.
Work.
I'm already in a hoodie.
I'm at work. But the reason I'm really excited is because we have a guest or guests coming on in a few seconds that actually creates products to benefit the health of both our dogs and ourselves. So I'm excited.
I'm going to go ahead and let them in so they don't disappear. They don't disappear thinking we forgot about them.
Oh, heavens no.
I'm actually really excited about this conversation because
I am too.
I am also.
I brought all my.
Oh, there you are. Hi, Kimberly. And you must be Kathy.
I am. Hey, Joni.
Hi there. So nice to meet you. And we have our honorary girl, Rob Silver, with us.
Listen, Rob, every hen house needs a rooster.
No, I don't know if I qualify as a rooster, but I'm happy to come join you guys.
Welcome to the podcast. This That's is so neat. Exciting. So,
Yay.
You know, I met you guys.
Yeah.
I met you guys already over on the Alternative Dog Moms podcast. And just that conversation had me so excited that I now have a whole supply of real mushroom products for the dogs. This is part of their daily routine. I have some for myself too. And what I love about the Girls with Dog audience is that we are reaching so many people who don't necessarily know about mushrooms or fresh food or any of these. It's not a holistic audience. It's more of a traditional, we love dogs too type of audience.
Awesome.
So I'm so excited for them to learn how they can use your products to improve their dog's health, regardless of what they're feeding their dogs.
Yeah.
So can you tell us more about the origins of real mushroom?
Rob, do you want to take it away? Start this over?
Well, sure. The founder of Real Mushrooms, or the father of the two founders of Real Mushrooms, has for the last 40 years been one of the global leaders in the cultivation of medicinal mushrooms. He's one of the world's experts. And so for 40 years, he has been growing the mushrooms and extracting them and then selling them in bulk to other companies. His sons, who are up and coming, 30 to 40 years old, wanted to get engaged in a business. And they said, seems logical, you know, there seemed to be a lot more interest in mushrooms. And so about 8 years ago, they started taking these extracts that they've been selling to other companies to make into retail products themselves under the label Real Mushrooms. And we use the word real mushrooms because that's what we sell. In the marketplace now, there's two different ways of manufacturing these fungal products, which some companies call mushrooms. And we can get into that if you'd like. But that's basically real mushrooms. And so Joni and I work with the two sons of the founder. The founder's a guy I knew before I joined the company because I was using his extracts for another company I was working with to make supplements for pets. So that's the whole story about real mushrooms.
Yeah. And his name is Jeff Chilton. And he's kind of known as like the responsible for bringing medicinal mushrooms to the West for the most part. And back in 1987, he actually co-wrote a book with Paul Stamets, who many people know from Fantastic Fungi. So then they went their separate ways, and Jeff started this an enormous mushroom extract company. And Sky and Adam are his sons, and we work for them.
So
putting names to them. I forgot.
When did people start connecting dogs to mushrooms?
Well, I think that as dogs, as pets have become more family members, people more and more want to give to them the same benefits they give to their children, to their spouse, to themselves. So it's just, I think it's a logical progression. In the marketing world, they call this the humanization of pets. But it's something that we love because we understand so much. I'm sure both of you as well, this incredible bond that we have with our dogs. I mean, it's psychic, you know, it goes beyond just this physical loving relationship. It's really amazing, you know. And
yeah, tell me about it. I don't talk to many humans anymore.
I don't know if I qualify as a human or not. I'm kind of a dog-like human.
I hear you.
No, I laugh because I grew up, my adult life, the first part of my adult life was as a military spouse. And so when we would go to dinners and things of such, you know, you have a tendency that initial 60 seconds when you first meet, you usually ask the question, so tell me, what do you do? You know, Joni, what do you do? Rob, what do you do? Yeah. Now that my life is just enormously surrounded by dogs, in 60 seconds or less, I just go right for what I'm interested in. Do you have any pets? And it's totally interesting.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody says, no, we don't have time for that. Then you look across the crowded room and you say, oh, there's Leslie, because you don't want to have anything to do.
You're like, yeah, I know, don't have there. Pets. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Kathy, because I just moved to rural Virginia from California. I got here last July and, you know, I'm in a whole new community, et cetera. And thank goodness I had my little dog Scruffy with me because she's like, you know, this little dog's got charisma. And I very quickly became like the most popular person in the community because of Scruffy. And I immediately had a whole community of friends. You know, I go walking with, you know, one dog group or another. And it's been such a wonderful way. Just, you know, you're so right, bonding. And you know what? What's wrong? I mean, I hear to that. Like, let's be our authentic dog selves and just.
I mean, really, yeah. You know, no dog, no conversation.
Love my dog. Exactly.
That's right. I don't know what else.
Yeah.
Dogs are social lubricants, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. They are.
Yeah. They really are.
Get it going.
Yeah. If I can just briefly follow up on what Dr. Silver said, Kimberly, when you mentioned, you know, mushrooms, how they became popular with dogs. I mean, Dr. Silver's so right. I mean, we want to treat our pets the way we treat ourselves. Mushrooms have become more popular with people, particularly over the last couple of years with, you know, the movie Fantastic Fungi coming out. Mushrooms are just the number one culinary. The New York Times rated them the number one culinary ingredient in cooking last year. But in 2012, there was a clinical study that came out regarding dogs in a very serious and aggressive cancer called hemangiosarcoma. And based on, I think that, you know, at least in the veterinary community, and that's then spread to dog parents, I think that was kind of the origination of mushrooms becoming more popular with dogs. Would you agree with that, Dr. Silver?
Yes, I noticed that uptick, you know, myself in pet parents, you know, asking me without my suggesting, you know, about mushrooms. Would a mushroom be good for my dog who has cancer, or would a mushroom be good for my dog who has this chronic infection, you know? And so that really began my search, because my life as a veterinarian, my 40 years has really been, you know, to improve that relationship between the pet and their parent, and you know, and not just simply, you know, treat symptoms, you know, really dig more deeply. Because if you're doing a more integrative approach, a more holistic approach, it really involves a lot of work and time on the part of the pet parent. And so I see a veterinarian or a medical practitioner almost as being a cheerleader, a motivational speaker, almost more than being a medical person. Because, you know, you could have the best ideas in the world, you could make the best diagnosis in the world, but ultimately you're sending them home. you know, and it's in the home that the healing really begins and has to be, because that's your daily, you know, your daily intake of good stuff, be it love, be it good food, be it good supplements, be it mushrooms.
You know? So that's a great segue into the question that I've been like chomping at the bit to ask since about 11:15 this morning. So when I looked at my calendar and I was like, oh, the mushroom people are today. But, you know, one of the things that Kimberly said is so true about us on this podcast. We are so unique in the sense our relationship is, in the sense that we have our similarities are in our dogs and the fact that we've just been great champions and cheerleaders for each other, you know, as we grew in this pet industry. But we couldn't be more far apart in terms of how we care for our dogs. So, you know, Kimberly is to me, she is the Nubian queen of raw feeding, whereas I do a very simplistic air dried, I call myself hashtag raw food adjacent because of how I feed them. I'm not in an environment where I can get to a co-op, nor do I think I want to handle raw food.
And in the meantime, you know, I have a garage filled with thawing organ meat, duck necks, quail.
You do it yourself. And,
you know, so the power doesn't go out, Kimberly.
she toils like that witch from Hansel and Gretel with the big, you know, making bone broth. I just go.
But she's the good witch, though.
Kathy's a little kid that keeps eating my house.
I just buy the frozen version, you know, that Stella and Chewy make and let it thaw out. But what has happened, and this is so indicative of our podcast audience, you know, I have to have everything kind of broken down to me, but I've learned so much from her and so much from the introduction of people like you on how to actually stay away from the old conventional ways of doing things with our pets and be more innovative, modern, more holistic. So I'm super excited, but in terms of real mushrooms, ignorant as all get out until about now. I see all these products. I really want to get into how these products work. You know, yes.
Before we do that, we probably need to talk about mushrooms in the yard.
Yes.
Mushrooms in the produce department and real mushrooms.
There's a difference?
Yeah, because we don't want anyone walking away from this podcast going out in their yard going, I'm growing some mushrooms that look like reishi mushrooms.
Right, right.
Somebody would do that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, please start there then.
I'll just jump in. Absolutely. The number one thing, the number one takeaway here is do not feed your dog mushrooms unless you absolutely know what you're giving them. If you find mushrooms in your yard, do not feed them to your dog unless you're an expert mycologist. I mean, I've been doing this for a couple of years and I still ask 10 people and then to give it to myself, I would never give anything to my dog. There are mushrooms that grow in your backyard. They're called death cap mushrooms or Amanita phalloides. They're everywhere in the United States and they come up after the rain and they're very tasty, very nice smelling mushrooms. They look very much like other mushrooms that are edible and they are pretty much always poisonous. This is one of the reasons that there is a bit of a mycophobia in the veterinary community and with good reason, because a lot of the interactions that veterinarians have had with mushrooms up until recently has been when dogs end up in the emergency room. So above all, do not feed your dog any mushroom that you find in the yard, in the woods, anywhere else. As far as culinary mushrooms, if the mushroom is in the grocery store, the general rule of thumb is if the mushroom is safe for a human, it's safe for a dog or cat, but it's very important to cook the mushroom for a number of reasons. It's kind of hard on the digestion, but more importantly, if you're if you're utilizing the mushrooms for the health of your pet or yourself, the medicine is kind of trapped in the fungal wall, and it needs heat in order to release that medicine. And Dr. Silver can explain that, I'm sure, in more scientific terms than me, but that's the basic
I don't know if it needs more scientific than that, Jenny. It was a very good explanation.
Yeah.
And this is one reason, you know, because of the backyard toadstool poison mushroom deal, that many veterinarians are kind of a hard sell when it comes to suggesting that mushrooms can also have beneficial properties for pets, like medicinal properties. And so we've been going with a rather steep learning curve as I'm speaking out in front of veterinary conferences, trying to get the word out about that not all mushrooms are toxic.
Yeah. The good news is that we've had more veterinarians sign up for accounts with real mushrooms than any other practitioner this past year. So they are learning and they are utilizing these wonderful mushrooms.
Well, congratulations to you on that. I'm so glad, Kimberly, that you interrupted me, because, you know, I personally would have never, ever thought of going into the backyard and grabbing a mushroom. But I guess people would, under the pretense that a mushroom is a mushroom. So this is vital.
Yeah. Or if you know, for instance, that you have those kinds of mushrooms or mushrooms that do come up in your backyard, it would be smart as a pet parent to be a little proactive and go out there, especially after a rain, and remove them. You know, and if they are the death angel mushrooms, you probably should put some gloves on, because those can be so toxic that a quarter teaspoon would be enough to liquefy your liver and cause an excruciating death in several days. So I think that's also a good safety tip to the pet parents out there that live in climates where mushrooms grow a lot at home.
Yeah, because they do grow here, and we've had that wet weather, you know, off and on recently. And so what I'll do is I'll go around with the bucket and my gardening gloves and get, you know, the little ones I just kick over, but the big ones I go and put them out and throw them off into the brush where my dogs don't go.
Thanks.
After our last conversation, I started chopping up and sauteing mushrooms. And one day I made a blend of, I think it was shiitake mushrooms and bok choy.
Ooh.
And my partner was like, I was going to take some because it smelled so good. And I had to tell him, you can, I've eaten it too. Very good. I now sought, you know, because I used to just grind up mushrooms and put them in my vegetable mix. But now, and I actually did a video showing people that this is what I do with the mushrooms. I saute them first. And then after I grind or puree all the other vegetables, I just mix in the mushrooms and then put it into jars and put it in the freezer.
Yeah.
Kimberly, you could even just roast them. You could roast them in the oven, you know, nicely without having to saute them, that sort of thing. Is another way. Any way you heat them is good. That's actually one of my favorite ways. I like cooking a lot, and that's one of my favorite ways of preparing them. You know, like if I put the chicken in, you know, in the oven, you know, I'll put another tray in that has mushrooms, so they'll all kind of cook up simultaneously, and I can just have them together when it's time to eat. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I just put them in my bone broth when I'm cooking up bone broth.
Yeah, I do that
for
too.
My dog. I just drop the mushrooms in there, and you know, that's a perfect way to cook them up as well. Yeah
absolutely.
Go ahead.
So to catch us up, you know, when we're looking at the benefits of mushrooms, when I first visited your website, you know, you have the human side, you have the pet side. And the first thing that I ordered was the immune chews. And the reason why I did that was because my dogs would think this was a treat and it's something super easy to give them on a daily basis. But you also have capsules and powder. And so I was wondering if you can just briefly go over what you offer, and for someone who's brand new, what you would recommend as their first order.
Kathy, you're going to be getting a little poo-poo platter of samples in the mail. We'll have to get your address after this.
I wish you wouldn't use that term. Couldn't you just poo-poo say
poo poo platter? I love poo poo platter.
A gift basket.
Let me tell you something. When you are a true bona fide pet parent, fecal is part of your daily existence.
Well, this is true. This is very true. Listen, I was just at an herbal symposium, and I just brought back a little container of freeze dried dog poop in capsules to give to my dog.
I have
a supplement, Phytos Flora from Adored Beast, which is fermented raw fed dog stool.
Same thing, I guess.
Look at Kathy's just shaking her head like, oh.
Hashtag raw food adjacent.
I'm not there yet. Hey, I mean, for all the people like me, I must continue to represent. We're not there yet.
I'm looking at the dog butt right behind your head, just like looking like, I don't know.
Well, Kathy, perhaps you've heard about what they're calling the microbiome, which is this incredible community of microorganisms in our gut that, if it's in the right balance, can create, you know, global health for our body. And if it's out of balance, can create not good health, even things like autoimmune disease and whatnot. And so we found that if you can give healthy stool to a human or to an animal who through whatever route is most appropriate. In humans, I think they use an endoscope and they go up through your rectum. Dogs these days, they're just putting them in capsules or they're mixing it in some raw meat. But what they find is that rather than giving a probiotic, having fun, rather than giving a probiotic capsule that has only, you know, like 5 or 10 strains in it, if they actually give the feces of a healthy dog, it has hundreds and hundreds of different beneficial species, not just bacteria, but also.
I stopped my video. I didn't want y'all to watch me gag.
Now, Kathy, I thought you said as a pet owner, you guys were used to the poop patrol. So I think
don't give Rob any incentive to like go further down the poop.
Fecal matter is part of our lives.
It is.
I'm looking at Joni and Kimberly, and I'm literally saying, why the hell aren't they helping me?
Okay, here you go. I'm going to help. So, Dr. Silver, can we segue back to mushrooms and explain the difference? Why don't you tell Kathy and Kimberly about our line and the powders, capsules?
Actually, I had mushroom information embedded in this information about the microbiome. Okay.
Okay.
Keep going, Rob. Keep going.
So what I'm saying, and as a veterinarian, you know, I'm totally invested in feces. You know, I mean, you know, I probably earned enough money to put an addition on my home just by doing fecal samples of dogs to look for parasites, you know. So, but what
and
I'm
saying. You would love to see my dog's fecal. You know, every time I take them in, they take them around. They saying these fecal samples are perfection in terms of size and feel. And everything else. So I got you there. So
you should have little pictures underneath each of your dogs behind you. They're gorgeous fecal samples.
Maybe you could get them bronzed and just hang them from your rear view
mirror. That's right. There you go.
You know, these are perfect poop. Anyway, so what I'm saying is that just as we're using the feces as a way of helping to restore the microbiome in animals or people that are diseased, the fiber that we talked about that you have to cook in the mushroom in order to release the goodies, it's really special fiber. And it does also feed the microbiome. So that's one of many, many benefits of your question, why should I feed mushrooms to my dog? Well, one, the fiber in the mushrooms provides great support for the microbiome. Mushrooms themselves are really kind of a paleo kind of a food. They're high in protein and high in fiber, but low in carbohydrates and low in fat. So they fit in really well for almost any homemade natural diet that you're providing for your pet. And certainly if you're feeding your dog that commercial food that I think is overly processed, adding mushrooms can add benefit to that as well. They're a superfood. And one of the fiber components in mushrooms turns out to be something we call a beta-glucan. And it's a special type of fiber. It's not digestible, but because fungal species have been so pathogenic in terms of the diseases they cause for ever, you know, ever since fungi first emerged on this planet and started attacking animals, animals have derived special techniques to combat them or to be vigilant to fungal diseases. And one way that they combat it is they recognize the shape of that fiber, that beta-glucan molecule. The beta-glucan molecule has really no effect on the animal except on the animal's immune system. So that's another benefit of mushrooms, in that the specialized fiber can help the microbiome do better. But two, the same specialized fiber alerts your immune system to be stronger and more vigilant and more protective against challenges like cancer, like infectious diseases, like inflammation, things like that. These beta-glucans even help to lower cholesterol, which is not a problem in dogs. They even help to regulate blood glucose. So, I mean, there are so many scientifically derived reasons why these mushrooms can benefit the health of our animals. This is why I, as a veterinarian, as an integrative veterinarian who believes that, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, to use that trite saying, mushrooms are that ounce of prevention, you know? So that's my little piece.
And if I can just add, animals in the wild all eat mushrooms, everything, you know, snails, deer, rabbits, wolves in the wild would be eating these mushrooms. And like Dr. Silver was explaining about how the beta-glucans are kind of activate the immune system because of that potential danger. It's almost like our DNA remembers that there are poisonous mushrooms, and like those of us, you know, the organisms that survived through evolution were the ones that were able to survive those pathogens. So when we ingest them, there's this warning, this could be a problem. It's probably not, but be on alert and make sure you check all your defenses and make sure you're ready should there be any kind of problem. And that kind of alert system and that vigilance that Dr. Silver was describing is really what the magic of mushrooms. And it's also, as Dr. Silver said, it's important to remember they're functional foods. Mushrooms are not a plant. They're not an animal. They've got their own kingdom fungi. They're something that's missing in our diet and is missing in our pets' diet that, you know, as we've become more industrialized, we're just not getting the benefits of the mushrooms. And there are certain components in mushrooms that you really can't get anywhere else, ergotheanine being one of them, which is an antioxidant that's excellent for longevity. It's anti-aging, anti-cancer, all kinds of other stuff.
So for the folks who are brand new to real mushroom, yeah, and they want to place that order, they're listening to you guys and they're like, this needs to be part of my dog's diet. Yep. They go to your website and they're like, oh, there's a lot to choose from here. Where do you suggest they start? Because it is very overwhelming.
Yeah, go for it, Rob.
Well, and I came to Real Mushrooms 18 months ago and pitched them to let me join them and design a line of products for pets. I'm just getting started. You know, so the first place I started was with their single mushroom extracts. We put them in capsules for pets. We put them in smaller capsules than the human capsules the company provides. But the company also provides the same mushrooms in bulk pouches, which is a little more cost effective and for the tastier mushrooms, easier to just, you know, mix in with the food. But there is, you know, what we're learning is that different mushrooms can have different benefits. And we're providing a lot of educational materials, and we're trying to use labeling language, not on the individual mushrooms, but on subsequent products I'm designing, which would give the consumer a clue as far as what they're good for. Now, we have constraints. The FDA says you cannot make medical claims on a product label. So I can't say, hey, Kathy, this is good for cancer. If I did that, FDA would shut us down. So I have to use this kind of structure and function language where I kind of talk around it, you know, supports healthy immune response to blah, 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 that sort of stuff. So what we're working on doing, we have these two soft chews that Kim showed us, the immune chews. That gives you a good idea of what it's for. Maybe your pet has some immune weakness, it gets chronic recurrent infections, maybe it has cancer. It has our special five mushroom blend. And that's the other way to go, is instead of choosing a single mushroom, is choose a blend of mushrooms that kind of gives you a shotgun effect. So we have what we call the five defenders. And the five defenders has five of the most potent and some of the best anti-cancer mushrooms out there. I'll say names just to expose you to them, Kathy. Reishi and turkey tail, maitake and chaga and shiitake are in the five defenders. Those same mushrooms are in the immune chews, but I added a couple of other herbs to enhance the potency of these mushrooms. I've got some blueberry powder in there. We've got some acerola, which is a natural source of vitamin C. We've got ashwagandha and astragalus root, two adaptogenic herbs that really interface well with mushrooms in terms of improving immune system support. And they're in a nice, tasty little soft chew. The other one we have are called the relaxed mushroom chews. And those have two mushrooms, reishi and lion's mane. Now, lion's mane is the most popular mushroom in America today because of its ability to improve memory and reduce stress. We're actually even seeing some improvement in people with mild Alzheimer's that are on the lion's mane, kind of slowing down the progression of their terrible problem. And so the relaxed mushroom chews have these two mushrooms that are very relaxing. The reishi is used in Asia by Zen masters as a meditation aid. But to make sure it's calming. Yes, dear. Yes.
Go ahead. No, finish your statement.
Okay. So, but to make sure that it really is very calming, especially immediately calming, because mushrooms might take a couple of days or a week to build up in the system, I put tryptophan in there, L-tryptophan, which is an amino acid that stimulates the body's production of serotonin, which is the relaxing neurotransmitter. I also put theanine in there. Theanine is an amino acid found in green tea. It's what gives green tea that zen. You know, green tea has a lot of caffeine, but it doesn't buzz you. That's because it's got the theanine in it. And then we've got herbs that are calming, like catnip and valerian and lemon balm and passion flower. So it's a very calming, not sedative, doesn't put them to sleep, but it's a very nice and calming formula. I've got a dog who's got PTSD and freaks out over thunderstorms and fireworks and everything else. And so I use that with him, and those help quite a bit. Now, I add CBD to that, which actually enhances the effectiveness of what's in those chews. The company Real Mushrooms isn't getting into selling any CBD. They're Canadian. It gets too complicated with all the cross-border issues. So we've got those two. And then we've got a third one coming pretty soon. We're just finally getting into manufacturing, which will be like a daily topper that you put on top of
it. That's a good idea.
Seven different mushrooms in it. It's got probiotics in it. It's got things like chlorella and milk thistle. So it's really
Saccharomyces boulardii.
Right.
So yeah, I know krill. About these things. You got to hurry up and get that out.
You're going to love this one. It's very exciting.
We're going as fast as we can. Manufacturing takes quite a while with all the little details you have to do to make sure everything's right, especially with the regulatory issues around the labels and the language on the labels.
Importantly, which cartoon dog we want on our label. That's been the subject of many, many meetings.
So that's what it is. But so we also do a lot of educational outreach. In fact, Joni is our director of education and outreach. And once a month, we do like a live streamed pet Q&A, which is great. You can Facebook get on live and ask me any question you want. Stump the star.
Stump the silver.
A lot of fun for me. I see it as like a contest. I wish, a game show. So, I give good answers, as good an answer as I can. You know, I'm limited. I'm not their veterinarian. I don't really know the animal. So I have to give an answer that I think is safe and appropriate, and they don't fit. So the attendees don't feel like I'm just hedging around and fitting or whatever. But I also don't want to give an answer that could potentially complicate things with an animal who I don't really know about.
Yeah.
So I do have a couple of questions. I will start out because I know that this is killing Kimberly because she wants to share and she doesn't want to hurt my feelings. The first time I heard about you, we were talking and she was preparing her food and she says, wait a minute, I got to go get the turkey tail. And I said, are you going to cut it up for all four of them?
I forgot about that.
That's exactly what she, so I figured I'd put that out there, Kimberly.
I forgot about that.
Totally makes sense. Well, raw feeder.
And there are turkey tails.
His ears
she's
and tails. And
handling kinds of carcasses. So I figured, okay. And I'm thinking, turkey tail, well, you're going to break it up, split it up, cut it up.
Fatty. Turkey tail's too fatty.
Have you ever seen a picture of the mushroom, though, Kathy? It looks have you ever seen a picture of the mushroom? It looks just like the tail of a turkey. That's how it
No, baby. I'm just getting into the mushroom world.
Okay.
So well, you all are molding me right at this moment.
Perfect.
So
here are the five defenders. So yes, this is definitely this and, you know, the mushroom chews. So for people listening, I think that this is a great start. And this is just because sometimes people like to see. I don't have the calming chews, but they're on order. But this is what the mushroom chews look like.
Yep.
So are the chews more easier? I don't do well with capsules, so I'd have to go chew a powder. So is the chew a better way to go?
The chew. Well, yeah, unless you got a super picky dog.
Yeah, but they also, Kimberly might be able to demonstrate, you can squeeze them, they crumble very easily. So if your dog or cat won't eat them, is it crumbling? Is it?
No, but it is. There you go.
Yeah.
And so strong.
You can push and they can get all, you can kind of break them into pieces and hide them in the food.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's more cost effective to use the powder. But not only does it cost money to make the chews into a chew form, but we've added additional potency factors, the herbs I'm mentioning, that sort of stuff. So the chews are nice. I've made a lot of products out of chews, and they're good because they give you, you're not as constrained to the volume of a capsule. You can put a lot of stuff in that chew. The only downside to it is that if you've got a larger dog, you may have to use several chews at a time. And some dogs are sensitive to certain elements in the matrix. Most are pretty good. We take a lot of time to figure out how to put that matrix together so it's not difficult.
Well, Jackson is 70 pounds.
Okay. Good name for a dog.
So how many chews?
Well, the dosage is on the label, and it's a slight kind of sliding scale, because what we find is that you can use mushrooms at a low dose for wellness, you know, and just to help keep them healthy. But when they have a problem, then you need to use more. And depending on how serious the problem is, you might need to use even more. So the dosage recommendation, I try to keep it the same, whether it's a capsule or a soft chew, although we don't put dosing on the pouches of bulk powder because they're labeled for human use. But the dosing recommendation is one capsule or one chew for every 20 to 40 pounds of body weight. And you can start giving that twice daily if you want to make that higher, or you could give two chews at a time if you want to provide a higher dose. You could dose it at the chew per 20 pounds for a higher dose, a chew per 10 for 40 pounds for a lower dose. So it's you know, these are not drugs. You know, we're really not talking drugs. We're not talking precise amounts. We just need to know we've got, you know, a moderate amount going in. We've got a bunch going in. We've got a little bit going in for each of the three tiers of health that we're addressing, you know.
And
that makes sense?
I do want to echo what Kimberly said, that I think the five defenders is the perfect place to start because, you know, that you've got, I think one of the biggest, I hate to use the word problem with mushrooms, but I say one of the biggest challenges is sometimes trying to figure out which one to use because they all have some such similar qualities. All mushrooms are anti-inflammatory. All mushrooms have anti-cancer properties. You know, all mushrooms are immune supporting or immune modulating. So you're always going to hit the target no matter which mushroom you use. Uh-huh. And when you combine these five different mushrooms in the five defenders, you know, some of them in there are have great anti-allergy effects. Others support the liver, others support the heart. So it's almost like the five defenders is a whole body support mushroom. I should also say it's our most popular product. The Immune Chews and the five defenders capsules are our most our best-selling products. But I would also echo, you know, what Dr. Silver's saying, like, if you have a dog that has a, like, for daily use, daily proactive use, I think the chews are great. If you're dealing with a pet that has a more serious issue where you want to get, where you're going to want to dose higher, you might want to consider the capsules or the powders just for cost's sake.
To share my experience, you know, because I've been taking these for probably like 2 months now. Mm-hmm. I'm on the five defenders for myself, and I have pretty intense allergies. This is the first year that I've been able to consistently do yard work without getting sick at night. Cause usually I'll do it cause I have to do it. I have to help. Mm-hmm. But I basically take, an allergy pill before I get started, take another one when I'm finished, and I'm still just pretty messed up the night before or the night after. And a lot of times if it's a lot of yard work, and by a lot, I mean, if I'm mowing and weeding in a day on a Sunday, I can guarantee that I'm calling in sick on Monday.
Oh my
this
God.
Is the first year I haven't had any issues. And it's because of the mushrooms in here, because some of them have antihistamine properties.
Exactly.
And with the Immune Chews, when it comes to dosing, because I have four dogs, the youngest being 10 months, the oldest being 13 years. And so with my dogs, I actually give Bella, who's our puppy, Apollo, who's 4 years old, one chew a day. Just, you know, it's for maintenance, basically. They're healthy dogs.
Yep.
Zoe is a senior dog. She's healthy, but she's a senior dog. She gets two a day. And then Rodrigo, he is our 13-year-old miracle. And so he gets two a day, but he also, I add powders into his meals.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the powders, all they're the most cost-effective. For people listening, I want you to keep in mind, don't immediately jump to the powder, because you do not want to pay money for something that your dog will not eat.
Yeah.
And for like Rodrigo, he does not like reishi.
Oh,
and so
most pets will not like reishi.
So bitter.
Mm-hmm. It's too bitter. If that is in his food, he is not going to eat it. So I have reishi, but I put it in my smoothies rather than, and my other three dogs will eat it with no problem. Yeah. But Rodrigo, no, he's not interested.
Yeah, it's Ollie, not too, Ollie's, it's not, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Ollie's like that as well. And so that's, so in addition to not liking that taste, there's a trick that I've learned through years practicing as a vet in terms of my advice to the pet parents is to, if you're using the powder, to start with a teeny amount, you know, and gradually increase that over a period of maybe even weeks, depending on how sensitive your pet is. And in many cases, the taste kind of sneaks up on them. You know, they get used to it before they know they're used to it. I think, especially with cats, I use that approach quite a bit, which is, of course, a different podcast, a different topic. But that would be a suggestion maybe for you to even try with Rodrigo. Mm-hmm. My dog, Ollie, who's got a bunch of PTSD, and I try to give him as many mushrooms as I can, he's very picky about and very suspicious about stuff, you know?
Yes.
And he goes, and he's,
I know, and he's looking at his meal, and he looks at
he's a lab, like, he's a foodie. You know? Yeah, exactly.
So let me tell you my question here for Jackson and Harley. Harley is 14 and a half.
Wow.
And, I'm dealing with some serious cognitive dysfunction. The cataracts have gotten the better of one eye, but most importantly, we've got some joint issues, arthritis, muscle mass. We're 14 and a half. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, health is declining. And, you know, I had him on a Western medicine And I called Kimberly. I was supposed to do a 2-week trial. I stopped after a week. The side effects were just horrific. And it just didn't make any sense. What? So,
What drug?
Galliprant.
Oh, okay.
And so he was on that with a Eastern Chinese medicine. But the constipation for 2 days, followed by serious diarrhea, vomiting, he's already not who he used to be. And this was taking it to a whole nother level. So keeping that in mind, I don't know if there's anything in the real mushroom that at this point could help. I'm going back on Friday, and I think we're going to start talking about, you know, some CBD oil and things like that, just to keep him comfortable. Mm-hmm. Jackson is, like I said, 70 pounds and he's 8. Chronic ear infections. They're both golden doodles. So we've got the floppy ears, and I am in environmental allergy hell in Charleston, South Carolina. So for most of his adult life, he's been on Cytopoint. And then I switched over to Adored Beast has a liver tonic that has done such phenomenal work on his gut health that we have not been back for our regular Cytopoint. And I check his ears every day. He's like getting used to me flapping them over in the morning before he eats. And they look, a knock on wood, call Lord. Yes, they look perfection. Yeah. So I'm wanting to know, in addition to the liver tonic, if the five defenders would also be another immune strength. Kimberly, I don't know why you're sitting there grinning like I am a graduate of the Kimberly Gutier. Follow me. but I do. I'm wondering if the five defenders would be a great supplement as well to help boost that immune system so we could come off of the Cytopoint completely. Your thoughts?
I think it's a good choice. I think it's worth a try. Could I guarantee you that it's going to replace the Cytopoint? No, but I think it's a very good choice. We find with dogs who have goopy ears, oftentimes there's a food allergy component to it as well. And oftentimes they may even get some, you know, anal gland issues, or they may chew on their feet a little bit. And there's ways there. And so food allergies can be something that we can do avoidance with if we can find out which foods they are allergic to. But I think starting with the five defenders is a good idea for your 70 pounder, right? And then for the first, I'm not remembering the name, the matching
That's
name.
Okay. Jackson Harley.
For the older guy, you know, who's your miracle dog, I think a combination of two individual mushrooms that are very, very tasty would be a good idea. One is called lion's mane, and we're finding lion's mane to be really beneficial. As I mentioned, most popular mushroom in the U.S. today because of what it helps with memory and cognition. And Joni's had some direct experiences using lion's mane and suggesting it to veterinarians who had dogs with canine cognitive disorder, which is what you're describing, or geriatric senility, and saw very good benefits. So I think lion's mane definitely, but there's another mushroom and it's very tasty as well. So you could get the powders for best cost effectiveness and mix it with the food. And that's called cordyceps. Maybe you've been seeing that Netflix horror film, you know, what's it called? The Way We Were.
The Last of Us.
The Last of Us, yeah, which talks about how cordyceps affects humans. Well, it doesn't. And our cordyceps is grown on rice. But cordyceps has some special molecules in it, different than other mushrooms, which have good research for their ability to deal with pain and improve mobility. So reishi also has some good ability to reduce pain, but we know that it's a challenging mushroom to get into the cat or dog, even to humans. I take a lot of reishi, but I take it in capsules, you know. So I would suggest those two. Now I'm working on coming out with a powder that would just have those two in it, and we're going to label it for pets. Exactly to address old timers, you know, like your old guy.
Yeah. And Kathy, just what happened Lion's mane is actually the reason I am I'm so passionate about mushrooms. I knew nothing about mushrooms, and it was working with a lion's mane supplement. Because I worked with a lot of veterinarians. I was a sales rep for a different company, and we started working with a mushroom supplement. And I have a background in canine rehabilitation. And so lion's mane, there's some clinical studies supporting the fact that it might help the support the myelin sheath, which is what wears out in dogs that have degenerative myelopathy, a pretty horrible disease where they lose the use of their legs slowly, and you know, it's fatal. And so when I heard this about the lion's mane, I sent a bunch of it to different vets that I was working with, and I said, give it to your dogs with degenerative myelopathy. Let me know how it works. And all of these dogs happened to also be older dogs. And the feedback was that it was okay, you know, and they didn't see a whole lot for the DM, but all of the pet parents reported their dog's cognitive function improved. And I'm saying all of the vets told me this. And I had never had a case where, like, I got 100% feedback about a product and, you know, very specific things that the dogs were finding the dog door where they couldn't before. They were making direct eye contact with their owners. They were initiating play. They weren't vocalizing at night as much. And the pet parents wanted to keep using the product. So I would really highly encourage, and I will send you some, Kathy, I'll send you some of the cordyceps and the lion's mane and the five defenders in a, I'm going to say it, a poo-poo platter. And we'll give it to you to try out. And all I ask is let us know, you know, it's always, you know, I'm always curious to hear, especially when you have a very specific, you know, something's very specific going on. If what kind of the ADLs, the activities of daily living, what's changing, you know, hopefully you are going to see some changes, and it's always good for us to hear that.
Yeah. I'm hoping. I didn't see any before. I'm hoping so.
Yeah. And we can't, of course, no guarantees.
Absolutely.
I think it's definitely worth, I'm giving it my dog, my little Scruffy, she's about 12 years old now. She's on lion's mane every day. I'm going to give it to her proactively for the rest of her life. It's also, it was traditionally used to support the gut. So for ulcers, IBD, so it's wonderful. If your dog is on, you know, it can support, it can support digestive health as well.
Okay. And that comes in a chew as well?
It comes in a capsule powder, and then it comes in the relaxed chews along with the reishi. It's the mildest tasting of the mushroom. So it's actually, it's not a strong taste like the reishi. And I'd be surprised if a pet had a problem taking a lion's mane in the powder form.
Yeah, chews and powder work better for me. I have no problem with capsules, but I'm the only human in my house that can give a capsule to a dog.
Yeah.
I go out of town, they're just not going to get anything.
Yeah, I would tend to open the capsules and just sprinkle the powder on the food.
Okay.
Be the easiest way to do it. And
then that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then that's perfect.
Yeah, I wouldn't just put it on top. I blend it in.
Yeah, mix it in.
With it. And, you know,
with my store-bought bone broth.
There you go.
Absolutely.
That works.
With
my store-bought broth. Yes.
So,
and Rob, to let you know, I did do the whole food thing. And smile again, Kimberly. They're both on a very limited diet, you know, and they have cool proteins. Smile, Kimberly. And the vet understands, and this is like the best thing for them. So it's just my area. It is infested. Now, I don't want this to, ideally in a perfect world, to replace the Cytopoint would be, you know, heaven on earth. But if this continues, I may only need to use the Cytopoint during our dampest seasons.
True.
And not have to do it, you know, 12 months out of the year. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I think the CBD will also be helpful. There's several new studies that have been published in dogs that show that that they see a reduction in itching with CBD. It doesn't change the skin sores but it does help to reduce itching. So you combine that, you know, with the benefit, the, you know, the anti-allergic benefits of the five defenders, and for your other guy with for mobility and also
mobility. Yeah.
I think
the allergy for Jax is just a buildup of yeast in the ear canal. And so on this Yeasty Beast liver tonic, it just seems like it just, the yeast doesn't stand a chance. It cannot survive.
Yeah.
And so that's the part. So I don't have, I'm blessed not to have the sores and all of that. The mobility is my concern with Harley because I am cringing with every step that he makes because he's falling. Mm-hmm. And his, you know, his elbows are bruised. He's really, really struggling, really struggling.
What are your, is he on, do you have carpeted floors or now?
I have rugs around, but that's not even helping anymore.
Okay.
Where about 2 to 3 times a night, he's literally even falling out of his bed.
Oh goodness.
I'm doing everything I can. Yeah. And I know I'm swimming really way upstream, but I will do whatever I can until I realize that it is inhumane to him.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's maybe neurologic, you know, not just arthritis.
It is. Yeah. There's a lot going on. Again, he's a standard doodle, about 50 pounds. So 14 and a half, I always make people smile because I always say he's on Jesus time right now.
Yeah.
At this age.
Yeah,
he can be very good for neurologic problems as well as for pain.
Yes.
Yeah, as can the Lion's Man, and just putting my rehab hat on. If you haven't already considered it, we used to buy big rolls of yoga mat. You know, not the small 6-foot, but some of these yoga supply stores have yoga mat. You can buy like 30, you know, yards of it and cut it and lay it down in your hall because sometimes it's just the rubber of the yoga mat can help catch them if they start to fall.
And that's what I started
like
putting
that.
Around. Yeah. Not, I don't have the long, like the whole extensions, but I have started adding things.
Okay.
So now when he falls out of his bed, he's falling on one of those huge rubber mats that they advertise in front of your kitchen sink.
Yes.
It's supposed to take the shock absorbent from you standing over the dishes and stuff. So he's on that now.
Okay.
And that seems to be working. We wear socks or grippers in the house.
Okay.
But we also, there's such limited movement now with him. So it's like wherever he lands when we get back in from a walk, that's where he remains. So, but you know, we do what we can do. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. This has been so interesting. I mean, you've answered so many questions. I've had this thing up all day. Now I have to look at it again because now I understand more about it. So
it's
I am just
fun.
Thrilled. We've got to have you come back on. Would you like that?
Oh, we would love it. Yeah.
Of course. It's great.
Yeah.
And Kathy, this is a little bit off topic, but I have my own brand that I sell separately of soft chews that contain CBD, CBG, and lion's mane and cordyceps, particularly for old dogs like yours. I'd be more than happy to send you a sample or two to benefit your old guy.
Oh, Rob, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. I would like that. I would like that.
And Joni can share with me whatever shipping address you send her, and then I'll just send it.
Well, you're on the email. Kathy,
Rob, we have come from fecal to friends.
There we go.
Ties that bond, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Kathy, just email us on the email string your address, and then Rob and I can both assist you with
Thank
that.
You so
yeah.
very much. And if anybody is listening, we're going to have Joni and Robert come back on. So please ask your questions in the comments. Kimberly will keep them all together. And then we'll let you know when these two come back and we can talk some more because I didn't hear anything about the chaga. I got to learn about the chaga.
Yeah.
And I want to learn about some mushrooms for old people like me. So, so we'll have to have you come back on. But thank you so very, very much. Really appreciate you both.
It's our pleasure.
You ask your dog if they'll share the lion's mane with you.
There you go. That's what
I
was thinking.
Oh, I can take his?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You just put
it's all the same mushrooms. There's no difference. Just
well, you know, you all
should have
said this earlier.
Sorry about that.
I need. Well, I need.
We're talking about dogs, but it's you're true. We're talking about girls with dogs.
Hey. Yeah, man. This girl needs. I need something for mobility myself.
There we go.
Kimberly and I found out the number one brain injury for women is walking dogs.
Well, there you go. Well,
yeah,
you can use everything. If you grow, you know, if you grow a tail and, you know, at least it'll be wagging.
It'll still be wagging. You're my kind of woman. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
Thank you both so much.
Take care.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye. Bye. You are so muted.
I am so muted. I was so much fun.
That was much relaxed. That, so we have to give them... I put the same fist bump, man, that and letting them know who they're dealing with.
Well, what's funny is that, you know, I squished up that chew and Bella's underneath the table. So I just threw it down there so she could have it. And she spent the last 15 minutes with her nose in my hand trying to get a second one.
Oh, John, listen, I was laughing. Now he was going a little deep with the shit.
Your face. Your face is just I'm gonna start filming that because the look on your face.
I was like, what in the hell?
Who
was like, man,
he came back. He's like, I'm gonna come back. He came back. And it's I really swear by these. Since I've been adding these mushrooms to my dog's diet, I've gotten rid of pretty much all their other supplements. Because everything I need, I get in mushroom version. And I alternate with other brands. So I do use, I have a real mushrooms. These are actually what I take myself. So what I showed in the beginning, these are the powders. Mm-hmm. And I add these to, in fact, I'll be making a smoothie after we finish. And I'll be adding a little bit to my smoothie. And I take the capsules 2 a day. But the chews are.
Well,
what
I don't know why he's telling me to take the lion's mane for cognition. I need something for mobility. Shit.
Well, let me look at my chart. So,
and I left mine at home.
Well, lion's mane does have anti-inflammatory benefits, so that's why. But I also love a brand called Animal Essentials, and they have tinctures. And so I alternate between these and then the tinctures. And so that way, I just think that it's important to have backups because if one brand goes out of stock or something, you know, you have a backup.
One of the things that I wanted to mention to them, and I forgot, so I will tell them the next time, because I really would love to have them come back. Their prices are so good.
Mm-hmm.
They are not, they are affordable.
Yes.
In terms of wanting to do something.
And actually that brings me to something else because that we need to talk to them about when they come back is the reason why their prices are so affordable is that they are partnering
in China.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have an attitude about that. And the thing about it is that not everything that comes out of China
is bad.
And it really is up to Canadian and American and any other country, that company to have a good partnership, to do the due diligence, to make sure things are being done appropriately. Mm-hmm. And that's something that they have done. And they have all of this information on their website, but it would be so good to actually listen to them.
That.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we could not cover everything in one time.
Mm-hmm.
So we could do a part two. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that.
But I'm just really excited because I know that, you know, as I get older, I start thinking about a lifetime of the things that we put into our bodies, just assuming that it's good for us. And one of the things was allergy medicine. I mean, when I take allergy medicine, I'm not taking like, oh, well, here's one little pill. No, the 24-hour capsules or tablets, I take two of those a day because they don't last 24 hours. And sometimes at the end of the day, I'm also taking a Benadryl just so that I can sleep through the night because mm-hmm. of the allergies. And this year, none of that. It's been amazing.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. So what else are you doing for the rest of the day?
Getting back to work, doing a little bit of lawn mowing. And like I mentioned earlier, I have a bunch of duck thawing out. And so if it's thawed tonight, I will be doing a little tiny meal prep. I think I have about 48 pounds of duck.
Okay.
What about you?
All right then. Me? Going home and I've got some writing to do. Working on a blog. I started that product that we love page and haven't done that. I owe you a letter so you can proof so we can get Jackson's job going. So that kind of stuff. Hard for me, you know, Lee goes out in the evenings right now for various events and meetings. In the old world, I would just take care of the dogs and go upstairs and they could come and go as they choose. Harley can't come and go as he chooses. Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep abusing him going up and down, up and down. So if I go up at 6, I got to come back down with him to go to the bathroom to go back up, mm-hmm. like around 9, 10 o'clock. So I'm trying to find that right balance because I just end up sitting. And my house is not set up where I can move my office downstairs.
Yeah.
And work. So I'll sit and wait. And if he falls asleep, then I'll go up and do what I have to do. But yeah, nothing major, nothing really major. Yeah. I might cook something. That would be
Adding pineapple to my baked beans, and that is a game changer.
No, girl. Did you add the ground beef?
Not yet. I was waiting to hear.
Don't sleep it, girl. Don't sleep it.
Did you do it yet?
I did it. And just about damn near killed myself. When you sucking on the spoon upside down, like walking around with it dangling out of your mouth, you know your food tastes good. I cannot wait to have company. I don't care if Lee said, let's do lobster. I say, sure, but we're going to add some baked beans to that. Where has it been all my life? Why couldn't I have found these meals when I was thin? You know, what happened? I don't know. But yeah, the baked beans were on point.
Yeah.
And so now I'm doing stuff with Brussels sprouts. I'll tell you how that's going to come.
Okay.
Out.
All right.
Yeah. And I don't eat mushrooms. I didn't want to tell Rob that because I thought he was going to like hang up on me. But I don't eat them. I may learn more about them. And just so you know, mm-hmm. happy birthday to you. Because it took all of my physical and mental strength not to tease you about tripping over mushrooms.
I was waiting for it too.
I said, I'm not going to do that. I refuse.
I was thinking about it because it's been raining. I need to go out there and look and see if they're growing. But all right. Well,
all
goodbye,
right.
Gracie.
Goodbye, Gracie. Take it easy.